Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us all here to this place today. It's really beyond anything that we could have ever imagined just to be here and to see what you're doing and to be a part of it. And Lord, I just ask that now as we get ready to worship you, that you'd help us put our hearts in the right place and that this would be a time that's set apart and devoted to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hi, Maestro. Thank you.
Before you, Lord, with us, humble heart. Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity to come together like this to worship you and to rejoice in the work that you're doing not only here in Duluth, but in other parts of the country and of the world as well. We know that you're not exclusively working through one fellowship or one individual, but you're working in a body. And we come together as a portion of that body this afternoon to give you the praise that is due to you. And to see the work that you're doing in our midst and elsewhere is something that truly inspires worship. And so when we come together like this, we do so willingly and with grateful hearts for all the work that you've done that we get to be part of. And we pray that we would be seeing that work continue, that you would continue to use us in a great degree as you've been, that we might continue to have hearts of gratitude for everything that you've done and are doing. And the reason that we're here today is to dedicate the church and to have fellowship with one another. And that alone is such a wonderful thing to see, that we've come this far. But Lord, the work that lies ahead is daunting, and it's a responsibility that you've given us. And so with one hand we rejoice, and in the other hand, Lord, we fear, because we know what lies ahead. And as a group, we come together like this for strength and for rejoicing, and we always pray that your Spirit would be here with us, in us, presiding, as it were, over this entire service. And again, we thank you, and that's why we're here, Lord. That's why we always come together. Any time and every time is because we're thankful for the work that you've done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Is the mic okay? You can sit up there if you like. Good afternoon. This sanctuary didn't look like this last Sunday. It's good to see it full. It's good to see everybody coming out here. And I know that not everybody here is part of the Duluth Fellowship, nor is everybody here part of the Menominee Fellowship. There might be some here, family, friends of those that attend one place or the other. Perhaps there are some from the community that are curious or supportive of the work that's happening here. If you are not a regular, I'll tell you that we might be giving you a false impression, because tomorrow we'll have church service and the majority of the people in this room will be gone. So it'll be a bit of a different feel. But for this afternoon specifically, we've got a lot of support coming from Menominee, thanks to Pastor Tim and the entire church there, coming together to bless us with a hog roast or a lamb roast. There are some in this room from the other church that are going, that wasn't pork. but to bless us by bringing up the coffee house and to really put this show on. They've done a lot for us every step of the way. I mean, this isn't just this afternoon that they've been of support. This has been ever since last July when we moved up here. Sarah and I moved up a year ago this past summer to begin ministering and to see what God would do, see if we would have a church or not, and things have continued to grow. And I could go into detail, but that will come out eventually for all of us. But the things that we've seen happen in the last year have been nothing short of, to put it mildly, surprising. I don't know that anybody had this in mind, that, you know, by this time next year we're going to be in a sanctuary in Duluth, you know, hosting some big backyard bash. That wasn't really planned, but it was our hope. We came up here to minister in hopes that God would begin to reach people. We moved in here 2 weeks ago, and it was really in my head that it's wonderful that we have a church now, but it's not done. We need to fill this church now with life. And that was our mission. That will continue to be our mission, to reach out to this neighborhood and beyond, St. Louis County, Minnesota, Wisconsin, America, beyond if God allows. That's the vision that this church has, if you will. It's a half-borrowed vision, because this has been my pastor's vision from the very beginning, and I'm not so proud that I can't steal from what I consider to be the best. Pretty good vision. So we'll take some of that, thank you. But God has been faithful to us over the past year. Amen, Duluth? we've got to see really cool things. And this is kind of the icing on the cake, but at the same time, it's just the first layer of a multi-layer cake. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, and so thus far we've been blessed, but I think we've also had a taste of the trials and the difficulties that are inherent in a work like this. But we have seen God do super cool stuff. If you're an outsider, just know that from my point of view, and with all of the spiritual discernment that I've acquired over the years of being a Christian who walks with Christ, I recognize that God's doing a work here among imperfect people. Look around. You just look around this room. Look at me. and in a moment, look at Tim. You know, God does stuff to, the Bible says, confound the wise. He picks people like us and does stuff like this to make us all go, what? And I think that Tim and I can vouch for that. The way that this has come together has made us sit back and go, what? If you notice on the cornerstone here of the church, Menominee has blessed us with a cornerstone of our own. It's a 380-pound bronze plaque that they carried up here. No, wait, 40 pounds maybe? It's real heavy. A bronze plaque that they gave us for our church, Duluth. Jesus Fellowship of Duluth, that's got the one-way hand on there. And there's a verse that you'll notice, and here's how prepared I am. I can think of it off the top of my head. Ephesians 2:22, and it says something to the effect of, we are being built together as a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. I knew a couple weeks ago that they were going to be making this plaque for us, and they said, well, what verse do you want to be on there? And I thought, oh, no, you know, this is everything. I have to come up with something good. So I'm thinking, you know, within Scripture, you know, what are some verses, and outside of Scripture? No. Look at the suit us. And I came across Ephesians 2:22, and I thought, well, that suits us. It suits Duluth, but it suits the body of Christ as a greater. I mean, the word together being in that verse is why I chose this, because we are being built together. from the very beginning, I have known and embraced the idea that we're not doing this alone. In fact, Jesus' fellowship of superior isn't Duluth. It's greater than that. Menominee is behind us in this. Jesus' fellowship, Menominee/Duluth, isn't alone. In fact, there are more Jesus fellowships in other countries than there are in America. We've got Jesus Fellowship Batamanjari, Jesus Fellowship Rauru. There's some work being done in Nepal, some work being done in the Philippines. So this is greater than just Duluth, and I'm, you know, speaking to the Duluth group here. But beyond that, guys, the work of God is unlimited. So we are being built together, Jesus Fellowship, Menominee, Duluth, Rauru, Batamanjari, together into the body of Christ and the greater church to do God only knows what. But it's something big. Something really cool. So that's why we chose that verse. I have nothing prepared by means of a message, but my pastor has come up here to officially dedicate this church to the group here. And I know it's always dangerous to speak too highly of people for various reasons. We all know that God has done this work, but if I could take the time to just say that my pastor is a blessing. Without him, this would not be what it is. So he will be doing the message today. Suffice it to say, I'm very grateful for what he's done for us and myself, my wife. Okay, so I'll introduce him now. Pastor Tim. So this is my pastor. Let's give him a hand, okay?
Somewhere along the way, as you get older, your life starts to turn into a series of mile markers. And certainly today is one of them. I think back at when I was in a similar situation as Justin, and when my pastor, who began Jesus Fellowship at that time, it was simply Calvary Chapel of Menominee, Pastor Dave, when, you know, he essentially passed the torch to me. There is a combination of fear and humility and, you know, excitement and all sorts of emotions going on at one time. And I did not know what I was getting into. I don't know that Justin can fully know what he's getting into today. But God called him. God has done this work. And in that, we know God will do what he said in his word, and that is that he will finish what he started, and that he will equip and he will meet the challenge that he has so placed upon these individuals. And Justin cannot do this alone. We are blessed to have Mike and Sheena and his wife Sarah there to help, but there's a whole group of individuals who call Jesus Fellowship Duluth home already. They're specially chosen by God, not to attend a church, but to build a church. And that's a daunting task too. You will be beat up, you got big bullseyes on the back of you, and the devil will come a knocking. But until then, today, we're going to rejoice. The devil will come soon enough, and the hard times will come soon enough, and we will pray. But I am very thankful to be a part of this, to be able to see this day come to this. And I imagine sometime or other, if, you know, my pastor Dave will listen to this message, and I will say, Dave, I imagine you never thought that it would come to this. To God be the glory. Amen? Let's take a minute and pray. Father, as we gathered here together, I am always cognizant of the fact that you can find us wherever we are. Even up here in the cold, frigid North Country, you are here. We rejoice in what you've done. Thanks for letting us be a part of it. You don't need us. We acknowledge the fact that you, as we have spoke today, have blessed not just Menominee, not just the Duluth Jesus Fellowship, but you have inexplicably blessed the group of individuals who owned this church before us. They thought that they sold the church to bless them, and we thought that we bought the church to bless us, Lord. And you know what? It comes to find out, Lord, that you let it all go down to bless us both so we could all stand back and go, you are a great God. So today, Lord, we come before you here to rejoice and to acknowledge that the battle is only begun. But thanks for meeting the needs thus far. We know, Lord, you will be faithful and meet them from this point forward. We praise your name. Amen. I'm going to begin today by reading, and by the way, I forgot all about the fact that Justin actually was going to use that passage on the cornerstone. But I began my message today with that exact same passage. I'm going to expand just a little bit on that. I'm going to go back to Ephesians 2:20 and go on, and it reads, "We are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him you are joined together as part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." Today, I begin with a question that should be an easy question to answer. What is a church? Because it's a question that seems to be incredibly lost today in a world that has reinvented church into their own image, leaving behind that which God has so designed. So what do we have? We have answers that are really just a muddle of answers today. It would stem from clear to the far left on the intellectual to the far right on the philosophical. Some answers would smack of a Wall Street business approach. Others would be spiritual cheerleaders whipping us into an emotional frenzy and everything in between. I have been blessed in my life to have seen a great part of this world that we live in that God has created. I have, in my life, stood in cathedrals in Europe, those with those giant 10-foot wooden doors, you see. In ornate sanctuaries, frescoed ceiling, quarter mile of seating. And I stood in those buildings where it seemed starkly void of the presence of God. And then I have stood in humble churches, and I use that term loosely, in the remote corners of India, Africa, Philippines, Nepal, that were really nothing more than just, you know, small windowless concrete bunkers with a tin roof. They called it a church, and the presence of God was overwhelming. So what is a church this morning? We live in an age, and we need to acknowledge it today as we begin this advance. We live in an age where a large segment of the wider church is being led by Pied Pipers of user-friendly fellowships. They are really nothing more than religious conglomerates that now go out and they're more interested in publishing some how-to books of how to build a church, and they peddle CD sets, and their eager audience really is just a clergy that is geared to filling pulpits. That's the point. More than feeding hungry sheep. They have incorporated the world and the world's ideas and ideals into the holy house of God. And they, sadly, have successfully built oftentimes what is something that is very, very far away from that which God has so instructed in His Word. But if you read the book of Acts today, the book of Acts presents a church that is far from user-friendly. In fact, that is a church that was built more in the flavor of Nehemiah. A trowel in one hand, a sword in the other. But you see, the Apostle Paul, even roughly 2,000 years ago, saw this period of history that was going to come to pass. He said in Acts 28, he says, "And now beware. Be sure that you feed and shepherd God's flock, His church, purchased with His blood, over whom the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. I know full well that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some of you will distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you night and day, and my many tears for you. And now I entrust you to God. I entrust you to God and the word of His grace. His message that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those He has set apart for Himself." In the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 26, also in the Psalm 78, there is an account, a rendition, if you will, of some events that actually transpired in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Those in Jeremiah and Psalm 78 just speak from God's viewpoint. So it's an interesting perspective of what actually occurred there in 1 Samuel. The story, historically speaking, at that point, was a people who had just come through an inexplicable... It was their nemesis. They had lost to the Philistines and they were left licking their wounds, wondering what had happened. It happened because God Himself had acted deliberately and acted specifically against His own chosen people. The very precious chosen nation He had selected for His own. Why? Because the people's hard hearts and their rebellion against His divine will. He exercised His divine will. And that was He simply left. He just departed. Can you imagine? He simply left His house. He took away His overt presence from His people. Now please understand this morning, God is everywhere. We use the term omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. This is speaking about a manifest presence of God. We refer to it as His Shekinah glory. His Shekinah glory that day was conspicuously absent from the people. And His Shekinah glory is also so conspicuously absent from such groups of believers that yet today, attempt to strong-arm God into being conformed into His image instead of seeking to be conformed into His. So I look at this and I see this as a passage of critical importance. Why? Because it's important to remember something that we rarely do, and that is that there is no cosmic mandate that says that God must reside in any church. If those who dwell within it excessively and adamantly refuse to hear His voice and obey His direction, there's no rule. In fact, there's no reason for Him to stay. Luke 6:46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say?" God's reference there in these passages in Jeremiah and Psalm 78 from our text, or Jeremiah and Psalm 78, our text from Samuel, it was concerning a place that we know of as Shiloh. This is a place where men had earlier then rebelled against God. They had tested His limits. They had tested His direction. Many people died as God had allowed the Ark of the Covenant to be captured by the Philistines, and the wicked priests Hophni and Phinehas were both killed. In the passages I mentioned, God delivered what is referred to as a conditional promise. A conditional promise. We find it often in Scripture. It means that God delivered an if and an unless. Unless they hear Him, unless they obey, He was gone. Well, today, we are here this afternoon to celebrate the purchase, the really handing of the torch from those who have handed us this torch, the possession of this building. We need to realize that the acquiring of this church building is but the beginning of church construction. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "And now God is building you as living stones into His spiritual temple. What's more, you are God's holy priests who offer the spiritual sacrifices that please Him because of Jesus Christ." If you know anything about construction or anything about architecture, you know that to get a building to this point, there had to be a very long process that occurred. I believe this building goes back to, I think, 1915, so way back then, there was an architect, there was builders, there was a lot of people involved in seeing this vision come to pass. Each one taking his or her place in making this event come to fruition. Such a building as this was designed with the hopes and the purpose of meeting both a desire and a need. So the church on a grand scale, as well as the local level that we have here today, was designed and subsequently built to be indwelt with the presence of God. This was to be a house of God. It was to be a vehicle that was to bring Him glory, but also to fill a desire and to fulfill a need. But let us make note this afternoon that it would be a fatal mistake to believe that the desire and the need is our desire and our need. Because friends, it's not. This is where we oftentimes make our error. We are indeed those awesome beneficiaries of the presence of the local church, of this church. But that's not its primary purpose. Colossians 1:24 and elsewhere tells us that we are His body. We are His bride. Thus we can gather this afternoon that it's all about Him, not about us. We're not left guessing, thank God, literally. We're not left guessing today on the process of making this work. Scripture clearly gives us the tools, the raw materials, the installation instructions, if you will, that are needed to see this dream become a reality. Now, the language that we read here may not be as hip and modern as our man-made how-to books down the Barnes & Noble's aisle of how-to, but the recipes in this cookbook, gang, they work. If you need a slick, shiny cover, we can get that for you. It doesn't change what's on the inside. This journey this afternoon did not begin here. It at least goes back to my journey beginning in Menominee. And there too, I also had that same moment of what will be my verse. What will be our destiny? What will be our direction? And I understand, it says, this is kind of for everything here. It's, you know, it's for what's behind door number three. This is it. And those of you that go to Menominee know that for us, it was Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then on in 46 says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I'd like to bring attention to the main points of that passage this afternoon. I want you to notice that it begins and says, and they. Who's they? The pastors? The elders? The deacons? But let me tell you, that is true, but they are not the ones that make up the church. They are not all that the Lord speaks to here. The scriptural term is body of Christ. Each one taking his or her place within this body. Those of you that call this church in Duluth home, you need to realize that you are essential. It is critical that you take your place in the body. Pastors over here, they cannot do it. They're the shepherds. They're not the sheep. They don't make sheep. You make sheep. Their position is to guide, to steer, to feed, to keep those sheep healthy. They continued. They continued. You'd think that would be given. Continued. Yet we're so oftentimes brought up short right here in the beginning. Because the fact is, so many of us will find that we are the seeds that are found along the wayside, the rocky soil that we read of in Luke chapter 8. And we begin the race, but we never finish. There is no endurance. There is not that Pauline experience of finishing well. And for those that again call this church home, we're not talking about just your faith. We're talking about your place in the body. Starting a church in this way is hard. You don't have all the amenities. You know, if you've got childcare at all, it's great, you know, and the praise team, it's just a miracle they able to get a praise team like this so quickly. But there's things you don't have that big churches have, and that large churches with large budgets and all those kind of things that have. A pastor that's full-time, all those kind of things. You know, these guys, they got to go to work. It'd be easy to not continue. Just go find a church that has all those things and find a comfortable pew and settle in and take from God. But that's not His design. We often fail, I think, because we never really are part of the they. We're not the they that is mentioned here. We're there for our own reasons. We are attempting a Jesus world hybrid. It's never worked. It never will work. You cannot have the world and Christ too. Why can we not get that through our heads? Why do we have such a huge section of the body of Christ, or those who call themselves the body of Christ today, trying to find some way to have their cake and eat it too? To go and to be able to embrace the world and call themselves Christian. That's not the way it's going to work. It's never going to work. Those in the passage of Acts that we read here, they continued and they did so steadfastly. I love the Word of God, how it says what it means and means what it says. And the more that you are a student of the Word, the more you see the intricacies of what God lays down in His Word. They continued, but they didn't do so just kind of halfway. They didn't limp in. They did so steadfastly. There was no room for lethargy. There was no time for rest. And gang, there's no time today. The Lord is coming back. Why Why do we sit and we live our lives like we think we have plenty of time? Oh, there's plenty of times. The Lord, you know, they've been saying He's coming back for years. Where is He? My friends, He's right around the corner. And I can tell you one thing. Even if He doesn't come back for 300 years, the Lord for you is right around the corner. Yeah. Yesterday, I was 20. Today, 30. Gang, it goes fast. And each and every one of us, quicker than what you think, will be face to face with our Redeemer. And when He says, I left you a little something, what'd you do with it? Oh, I buried it in the backyard. You did what? Yeah, I asked a little of you, Tim. I mean, you buried it in the backyard. Why? Well, I was afraid. Depart from me. Where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's no time to rest. As we enter these last days, gang, and as I've said, only a fool would believe that we're not there. We must strengthen our resolve, our commitment to the Word of God. We got to hunker down. We got to dig in. Steadfast, in the Greek, it means to be devoted or constant, to persevere, to not to faint, to show oneself courageous, to be in constant readiness, to wait on constantly. Gee, Lord, You're asking an awful lot of me. Yes, my friends, He is. You know why? Because He gave a lot of Himself. God gave His only Son, and they put Him on a cross after beating Him beyond recognition, that you and I might sit here today. I'm often fond of saying, it's amazing. We visit nations and churches where people can die for going to church. Literally, they can kill them. They are skinning Christians alive in India. They're willing to die to go to church. When we don't even want to get rained on to go to church. You're in Duluth or snowed to go to church, you know? Because we don't understand what a value it is. Hebrews 10:25 says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of His coming back is drawing near. He says that we should continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So what is that? Apostles' doctrine. Quite simply, it's just the Word of God. The Word of God as presented in Scripture. Nothing more, nothing less. And gang, you don't need no more than that. The Bible says, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And many of you that have come to know the Lord, you know that's true. It's got what we need. But we must diligently adhere to the Word of God as it was delivered. Resist this modern tendency to reinvent God into the image of man. The answers that we must seek for the health and the maturing of the church today, they're not found in the latest book on church growth strategy. It seems the corporate church is a generation of revisionist historians today. We've unilaterally decided what God said and what He meant, and we think God has somehow conveniently got hip to our modern age and our modern new religion. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying today to say that we should fail, or that we would fail to remain viable, or that we would fail to remain applicable to life in today's world. Because let me tell you something, it's rough out there. Now, and if you don't know, if you're a guest here today and you don't know Jesus Fellowship, either Menominee or here, let me tell you something. We are all about the street. We're not about here. This isn't why we're here, us four and no more. It's all about what's out there. So you're going to see us out there. We don't look the part. We don't have you know, all that religious thing going on, because we're out there to win people to Jesus. That's our calling. That's what this church is about. We're not going to cling to our hymnals, our pipe organs, our Orthodox rituals. We do indeed need to seek to communicate God's will, need to communicate literally God Himself to a very cynical generation of youth. We need to seek to manifest His reality in our lives, having an answer for every man, as the Bible says, in areas of science, history, showing the application of God's grace in the world around us. But the message must remain the same. We must be uncompromising on this. Because if we move away from this, we risk God leaving our presence. I do not want to be overtaken by the Philistines of this world, simply because we were not adhering to the voice and His direction. The gospel message has not and must not ever change. The truth of the cross. Certainly there are those today that feign that this problem is merely an issue of semantics. We need to be careful here. We must not be swayed. The truth is still the truth. And a partial lie is still a lie. A 99% truth is a lie. Unity is not the same as ecumenicalism. God has not called me to ecumenicalism, He has called me to unity. Thus, I will, and I believe the pastor of this fellowship will not be sharing any stage with a Muslim, a Mormon, the Dalai Lama, a Native American spiritualist. Why? Because we just think we're so great? No, my friends, because God is God and He's the God of the Word. That's not to condemn others, but it is the truth. And on that we cannot be moved. Viability is not the same as compromise. Our message must remain founded in the Word of God, unyielding to His grace, unflinching on the issue of His holiness. Our text goes on and says, fellowship. We're big on this one. That's why we're all here. Fellowship. I'm always amazed, especially when I visit some other churches, I guess what I would call a cursory relationship with those who are perhaps in the next pew. I mean, I don't understand how people can pass each other on Sunday mornings and never see each other or speak to each other for the rest of the week. That's not fellowship, that's acquaintance. In that, the fellowship in the early Church of Acts, what do we see there? Was that the fellowship we read there? No. Those people were willing to sell all their goods, all their possessions, in order to bless the others, help provide for the corporate needs of the body of Christ. And no, we're not going to pass a plate now. So relax. But that was fellowship. That was my heart is with you. Fellowship means association. It means community, communion, joint participation. Do you know, wherever you attend church, do you know what the needs of the body are that you're part of? I mean, how about the needs of the guy in the next seat? The Church of God is not the Lions Club. I'm not dissing the Lions Club today. It's not the Lions Club. It's not a social service organization. It's not alternative family entertainment. We are to be on this earth the very hands and the voice of God Almighty. That is daunting, isn't it? I mean, you stand back and you go, whoa, the hands of God? Yes, the hands of God. Does He need us? Not on your life. He's going to send an angel. Why does He do this? For us. For you. For me. I mean, why He ever lets us on the field is a miracle. It's inexplicable to me. I mean, I'm in the junior little leagues, you know, and he's got me out there, you know, and in the dome playing with the Twins, and I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know how to play baseball. But you know, it's a miracle, and I think Justin will attest to this. But standing there in the dome of spirituality, a pitch comes in, and you close your eyes and swing. And it's just out of the park. And you stand there for a minute, you forget to run because you're so odd. And you can hear His still small voice say, what do you think of that? What do you think of that? I think you're great, God. The breaking of bread. Well, I think we did that, at least the breaking of the lamb. Many people will attribute this to communion, and those of you that attend Menominee know that we do practice traditional communion, but you also know, because I've spoken on it many times, how your pastor feels about this. Jesus said in Luke 22:19, do this in remembrance of me. What was He doing up there? Passing a little cup of juice and some crackers around? No, they had that whole potluck thing going on there. It was a feast. They were eating. They not only were eating together, but they were eating together. It was fellowship. And I don't want to put a tone into the Word of God when I read it, but in my mind's eye, I can hear the Lord say, boys, do this a lot when I'm gone. Hey, when I'm gone, do this all the time and remember me. Okay, Lord. Okay. I think it's important that we do that. Communion, we had communion today, and it was good. And we did it in remembrance of Him. Prayers in that passage, absolutely critical. Not to get our will done, but to get God's will done in our lives. And then that passage ends with that great phrase, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Please note that very critical phrase, the Lord added to the church. The Lord added to the church. Justin, the Lord added to the church. Translated even in the loosest Greek, that does not mean Justin added to the church. The Lord added to the church. In other words, in the end, it's all Him. It's all Him. It's His place to do the saving and the church building. So, this afternoon, gang, if we are to be the building blocks of this church, what does God want and expect from us? Hebrews 11:10 says, for Abraham waited for the city which has no foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Well, first of all, I just encourage you all today, without the active participation of an architect and the master builder, the execution of His plans and His vision, what will ultimately be built will be a far cry different from what He intended. I mean, if we just all went out and, you know, got some mortar and got some bricks, and we started just slapping this puppy together in any way that we wanted, it would not be a functional facility, and I can promise you it would not be pretty. It'd be like, you know, one of those cups that your kid brings home from kindergarten, you know? I mean, it's really hard to even drink out of them things, let alone, you know, any kind of, you know, cosmetic appeal. I mean, it's functional, but, you know, you want to tell your kid, it's beautiful. You know, that's what happens when we get in the way. Because the blueprints have been written already. The blueprints of how to build Jesus Fellowship Duluth, they already exist. They've been written. You don't have to go out and write the plans. You only have to take His plans and execute those plans. That's it. But, therefore, we must be willing to actually read, yes, even study the manual, and then follow the plans of the master builder and the architect. The growth that God wants from us is maturity. Maturity. As I've already said, healthy sheep produce more sheep. The numbers grow, and it happens naturally, just like any loving, maturing, earthly family. It just happens. We must realize that every brick in this spiritual building is important. Everyone is critical. Like the scriptural body of Christ, the body is not whole without your participation, without your gifting. Now I can only imagine how much effort, how much time it took to construct a building like this. And they don't build them like this anymore, do they? I mean, you know, we're kind of pole barn people now, you know. We just get out some sheet metal and slap her together. And then that's fine, you know, because I'm that kind of guy. I'm into function. I don't want to leave the devil anything. I went away the day after the rapture. My church just cave in, you know. You should put a little time bomb that has to be reset each day so when you don't go back in, it just collapses. That'll teach them. This church was not built, and the real church will not be built with just a couple of hours of cursory effort on Sunday mornings. The church, the faith of God, is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle from which all of our rest of our life must flow. There's no hiding the fact that such a life can be very expensive on the earthly level. Those of you that are present in this fellowship at this time, this is going to cost you. You're going to get beat up by the devil. You're going to feel like you're giving up all of your worldly plans and dreams and schemes. I know it may not mean much to you today, but I thought the same thing when I became a pastor. Well, that's the end of that then. And the irony of it all is everything I ever really wanted in this life, God gave me, but it came from His hand. I mean, the shock of standing in a river outside of that Badamanjari, India, and truly, gang, this is that proverbial end of the earth. I mean, you are way out there. I'd have two translators. One from English to Hindi, Hindi to Kuvi. I mean, you're out there, and baptizing those people in that river, I was like, Lord, take me now. Because this is it. You've peaked, Lord. I mean, I'm awful young. You peaked. There's no place to go from here. This is it. All I could do is just stand in that river and try not to bawl like a baby. And again, I could hear his still small voice. What do you think, Tim? You think I've done okay with your life? What? You think it was a fair exchange? Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. No words can express. Yes, Lord. The devil will tell you different. Your folks will probably tell you different. What is wrong with you? You're down at that church every night. I mean, what is going on there? You just turned into quite the Bible thumper. What is the deal, man? It must be a cult. That's naturally where they go eventually. Luke 18:28, Peter said, "See, we've left all and followed you." So he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or a wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time." Not the eternal realm, in this present time. And he's not the stock market. Oh, thank God. He's not an investment plan. But let me tell you something. You can't outgive God today. Now we're going to pass the plate. No, I'm only kidding. No, only kidding. There's no plates here to pass, so we don't do that. You can't outgive God. The more you give of Him your life, the more He will give in return. Because you see, unless I'm standing in a dream this morning, I am living proof that that is true as I stand here today. Christianity was, is not about us fitting God into our lives. Christianity is about the surrender of the totality of our lives to God. Jesus Fellowship Duluth, don't you ever forget that. It isn't about bringing God into here. It's about us fitting into His plan. Because His plan is wonderful. And He loves to give good gifts to His kids, and He will blow your mind. And when you depart this life, and there's nothing greater than an old saint, when you depart this life, you will say, "Man, what a ride that was. Lord, I'd do it all again the same." And it is my goal, as a senior pastor, my goal, as this man's pastor, is that as I depart, I will know that he will say, "Tim, I'm going to do it all again." And see, for a moment, there'll be a party in hell that Tim is gone. Oh, we got rid of that guy finally. Man, he was such a pain to us. And it'll be a momentary parley, because then he's going to realize all those that we've left behind who are going to continue the battle. Hopefully better. So, the hands of men here today, we look around and we see what can be built. What can occur with commitment, patience, and fortitude? What about God? What can be built with patience, commitment, and fortitude? If we put all the promises of God on the table, can we expect, should we expect anything less from God than the spiritual similitude as this building? It's huge. It's amazing. Church as usual will never suffice in this church. Let us lay down that promise today in this building. It will never be church as usual. If we want to change the world, it can never be church as usual. Nothing less than the sacrifice of our lives to God is going to do the job. And this church today, and I mean the living church today, must make a decision. Today. You must decide whether you're going to be a popular church or whether you're going to be a dynamic one. Make up your mind. Because I promise you, you cannot be both. You will be either dynamic or you will be popular. You cannot be both because Jesus is our cornerstone. And my friends, He was the rock of offense. My prayer this afternoon is for this fellowship to grow. Not just in numbers, that's great, but in knowledge, grow in spirit, grow in experience, grow in humility, grow in your love for God and for each other. And God will build a church that the world will stand back and they'll scratch their heads in mystery. And perhaps one day, they'll say about you as they did about Paul, these people, they turn the world upside down. Let's pray. Father, it truly is all about You. We know that the fact that we are even sitting here today was Your great miraculous hand. Because every step of the way, we didn't really know what we were doing. We were just kind of tripping along. We said, wow, a lot, Lord. We say that a lot with You. Wow, God. I think the wow gods have just begun in this fellowship. I trust You. But I'm not looking, Lord, to just simply plant a church of small things up here. I want to move the world. I want, Lord, You to move the world. We worship You today, Lord. Thank You for our salvation. Without You, we'd be nothing. And yet, here we are. All things, we give thanks to You. May we worship You, Lord. Not just in word. Not just in song right now. But with our very lives. Let's stand.
forever.